Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Players Only with Chiefs Radio Network color analyst Danan Hughes.
Nice slant route. This is a business decision. You know you're going to take a lump.
And former linebacker Sean Barber.
There's a thing called street justice. You take care of yours. Yeah. You take care of your family, take care of your chicken, take care of your money.
On your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
What's good, Kansas City? What's good, Chiefs Kingdom? We are back in the building, hoping that this is of the first of the three last shows of the season and Players Only. I am Danan Hughes, and my partner... Sean Barber. Hello, are you there? Barbershop. Some reason he's not here yet, so I just got to go solo for a little bit. Barbershop is in tow. Definitely got to throw some jabs to him. And if you've listened to the show in the past, there has been a tendency for Barbershop to be a little tardy. And he's got work to do. He's got business to handle. He's got six kids and other stuff. So I appreciate the brother. He's a brother of mine. But I definitely always got to throw a jab when I got an opportunity. This is Players Only. We are on 6 to 7 every Thursday night. And like I said, we're hoping this is one of, three left to have for the rest of this season. The phone lines, text lines are open, 913-586-7610. And this is a big, big week. It is Final Four week in the NFL. And after an amazing, exciting wild card weekend, we have the divisional round upon us, a round that we have become accustomed to participating in. We've had greatness during this weekend in the past with Patrick Mahomes undefeated, high QBR. I'll give you those numbers later, but this is a round that the Chiefs have owned, especially during the Patrick Mahomes era. So we are excited about this coming weekend. There's been some really, really cool football that we just came off of in the wild card weekend. Good to see the Chargers get beat, and in that fashion. Some people might think, oh, they're an AFC West team. We should be somewhat rooting for them against the other AFC teams. No, I do not. If we're in a situation ever, the Broncos are ever getting back to form and playoff form, I am not rooting for them. If the Raiders come out of their shell and are able to have some success and some semblance of normalcy, no, I am not rooting for them, and I'm not rooting for the Chargers. They got what they deserved. I've been down that road before. Heck, we have been down that road before as Chiefs fans where we gave up big-time leads. And I'm sure the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Broncos were not necessarily cheering for us during those times. So you get what you get, and they got it. And they got embarrassed, and it's unfortunate for them, but, you know, life moves on. They got an early vacation, and I'm sure they're making the best of it in Cabo or wherever they are vacationing in. All of the emphasis is on this Chiefs team, and in the first quarter of this show, like, I feel like it's an opportunity for us to recap this season and recap some great points of this season and where we are right now, where this team is, and then we'll get into the Jaguars and this opponent who we met back in week 10, and we beat by 10 points. We gave up the ball three times, did not have a penalty in that game, and we got to a 20-0 lead and basically cruised to a win. But there were some aspects of that game, as well as what we saw last weekend with them against the Chargers, that are some concerns, are going to be factors in this matchup. And we can rest assured that they will not just come in and roll over. This is going to be a competitive game, and in the fourth quarter, we'll get into that. But for this first quarter show, I want to give some flowers to this team, this Chiefs team, and what they were able to accomplish. So many different highlights. You look at just the depth chart in itself. You have a seventh-round pick in Isaiah Pacheco doing work, elevating himself into one of the stars on this team, one of the high performers on this team. And as we've seen with Andy Reid, whether he's drafted a first-round running back like a Clyde Edwards-Helaire or had stars in the past when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles, for the most part, if you look through his resume, it's always been about a 1-2 punch. He's always had a solid 1-2 punch, whether it was Brian Westbrook and Deuce Staley, Shady McCoy. You can go back into time during his tenure as a head coach, and it's always kind of been about a 1-2. He never really has shown the desire to just have one horse in the backfield. And the fact that Brett Veach and he were able to draft and develop and depend on a seventh rounder from Rutgers. We're not talking about a seventh rounder from Georgia, from Alabama, from Michigan, from, you know, USC or other places that have churned out running backs. We're talking about Rutgers. I'm from Jersey, and we're talking about Rutgers football. Rutgers running backs didn't have much success, didn't have a whole bunch of highlights, but like that diamond in the rough, blue-collar guy in Pacheco, he's become one of my favorites, as well as the other part of that 1-2 punch in Jerick McKinnon and what he's been able to do, being the first running back to have 9 touchdown receptions in the span that he was able to accomplish that. Like, sometimes, even though we have goals and we have aspirations for this team and seeing what they'll be able to do and getting to the promised land in Glendale, Arizona, you know, sometimes we got to take a chance, take a time, and reflect on what we've enjoyed during this season. And I know Dan has called in, and Big T and others have called in, and text lines have been, you know, populated with, sometimes it's about how great this team is, then there's about concerns, and after a loss, the sky is falling and the world's going to end. And I don't think we do enough to just kind of reflect. And this is an opportunity to reflect on how this season has gone. Remember, about 6 months ago, was the world was going to end for this Chiefs team, and every pundit, so-called expert, had us as the third best team in the AFC West and not making the playoffs, and the dreaded R word was going to be a part of our season, that rebuild, because we lost one person. Now, that's a very special talent, very unique talent, probably one of the best, if not the best, that I've seen playmaker-wise throughout my time of watching the NFL and being a part of the NFL, in Tyreek Hill. But that was just one person. And yet, we were able to overcome that. And Patrick Mahomes, if you remember the press conferences early, where he said it's going to look different, and people questioned it, people were concerned about it, and lo and behold, he wind up speaking that into existence, that our team looked different, and we have, you know, games where we have 12 different receivers catching balls, 13 different targeted, the ball being spread around and very efficiently. And even though there's been some minor downs, a lot of it has been major ups as well. So from the offensive perspective, because the offense is the most important part of the ball, of the game, we have to tackle that. Offensive line, question marks with Orlando Brown Jr. and what we were going to do with Andrew Wiley on the right side, Lucas Niang hurt, and all some of the question marks of the sophomore season of Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey. and this team, you know, giving up such a low amount of sacks this season, to me, is very impressive, extremely impressive, and we should be proud of that. And during this time, like, this is a time where we should embrace that, that for, you know, this season, for 17 games, we got to see greatness unfold a little bit differently than we've seen it in the past, but yet it's been great. And my concern has always been, because we are spoiled, and it's a good spoiled here in the Chiefs kingdom, that we overlook that greatness. We get caught up in what's not happening, and there's a lot of, you know, radio analysts, radio show hosts, television hosts that will talk more about the negative than the positive. We'll talk all more about the question marks than the exclamation points. We'll talk about who else is in the league or who may be taking over for Patrick Mahomes around the league, as opposed to just embracing the greatness of Patrick Mahomes. And I think that's wrong. And so for this show and this moment, let's embrace our greatness on the offensive side. Now I've been joined by this character next to me, who I actually had a meeting with earlier this morning, and he stumbles in here a little bit tardy for the party. Barbershop, like, I took 11 minutes to talk about our offense, and you only got 1 minute now to talk about the defense, so you better hurry up.
I don't need to talk about anything, because at the in beginning of the show, we see on the
thanks
text
for your
line,
contribution, Barbershop.
Barbershop.
There you go. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for coming in. God bless you. Good night.
On our text line, it says, Barbershop, he's never here to open the show. Like that's like my stick. That's what I do. I got business.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Sometimes business runs long, and when business runs long, I always text you and say, hey, man, I'm going to be a couple minutes late. And I got to listen to the crickets and all the other little things you got going on, all the little the setup for me being a little bit tardy to the party. Yeah, that right there. Yeah, you and Julio, y'all be ganging up on me on my, you know.
Well, you and Julio ganged up on me last week on my hot takes, so see, don't even start.
I've been living rent-free in your head for a week. You've been thinking about that all week. I like it.
Don't make me put this color purple thing on you. You done do.
No roots. Don't put no roots on me, man.
So, Barbershop, don't always open on time. You're proud of that.
I mean,
and you still ain't tackled the defense and what we should be.
Well, you talked about us being in a meeting earlier. I was like 15 minutes early for that meeting. I mean, I ain't.
So wait.
Surprise on your face for that 9 a.m. meeting with the Chiefs.
So just because you early for one meeting, you think some of that time should carry over? So it should equal out. Like if I got to meet you twice in a day and you 10 minutes late, but 15 minutes early, you really on time for both?
All right,
that's what you're saying.
Let me tell y'all how Andy Reid works this, and I'm going to work this into the story. When he meets us for our first time in a meeting, he says, listen, I respect you, man. I respect your time. He says, so if I tell you we got a 10-minute meeting and it runs a couple minutes over, somebody from leadership tell me, and I'll make sure you get those 2 minutes back before the end of the week. He always did that because he was like, man, I respect y'all. Y'all need to respect me. I need y'all to focus on the business at hand when it's time. And I always remember that about him. And I think that should be applied to life.
So
I was 15 minutes early for a meeting with you at 9 a.m. So I was 11 minutes, a little bit tardy for the show. So I'm still like plus 4 minutes.
So seriously hydrated. Take care. Thank you. We ain't even in the hot take segment. And Julio knows exactly how my mind is working. I didn't even say anything to him behind the scenes while you were giving that garbage. Is that how they would treat you at the McGinnis Group? You do a great job at the McGinnis Group. Would they redeem your time like that?
Paid time off. That's how they reward. We have a great Monday through Wednesday. The big boss comes in and says, you know what, guys? Rest of the week's on me. Paid time off.
But what if you late on Monday? What if you late on Monday and you early on Tuesday? He ain't going to say, cancels out.
So I heard Dana talk about giving guys flowers and about the running game and the running backs and all that. Defensively, guys, like, just look at the stats. You know, our defense has been one of the top defenses in the league, especially the last 6 and 7 weeks of the season. And so I love to see our defense hitting on all cylinders. Everybody's healthy, ready to go, and then having another week to just prime that body and get that emotional level, get that emotion even higher for Saturday. So, man, like, listen, I'll wait until the end of the show to tell you, but y'all know my prediction is going to be fire.
Yeah, we're going to tackle the bye week, and both of us, you know, throughout our careers have had really good seasons of being a part of teams during really good seasons where we were fortunate to have a bye week in the playoffs. And I want to tackle the feeling of a bye week, coming off a bye week. I think a lot of fans out there may have some assumptions of a bye week and maybe even some concerns. So we'll tackle that along with our hot takes in the next segment. And here's what, before we go to break, I will make 100% promise, Barbershop won't be late for the next segment.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
My name is D-Nice.
Looking to pass the football, throws in the middle, passes cut, touchdown Kansas City, touchdown Chiefs, Danan Hughes, took the bullet over the middle from Steve Bono.
First and 10 for the Chiefs at the 14 of the Steelers, halfback pass, Marcus Allen right side, touchdown Kansas City, Danan Hughes from Marcus Allen.
All right, we are back, Players Only, second quarter of the show, and as I promised, Sean Barber is not tardy. He is here, and he is going to participate in this hot fire, spit fire segment of our show.
You're lucky I love you. You're
Dan and KC, we're going to get to you in the third quarter like we do. I appreciate the love, Barbershop.
No,
I'm going to kick it off because you're in timeout. So you're going to take a backseat to me in this show, this whole
show. You promise I'm going to be on time, then you're going to mute me for 5-10 minutes. Like, what? Come on, man, make your mind. Do you want to hear me or you don't? Come
hey, you know when you were a kid and you got in trouble.
Oh, my dad, just look at me.
And you had to, you had to sit by and watch everybody else having fun and doing stuff, and you had to sit with your back to the TV or be in your room.
That's right. That's how you learn
discipline. That's where you are. You are in your room right now.
That's why I got to the NFL, because I knew discipline.
That's what it was?
Hey, man, you need it in life, discipline.
All right, so I'm going to hit my hot fire take. I'm going to be quick because I feel like, Barbershop, you got something hot as well. If you've listened to this show, you've heard me rail on officials. I'm going to take another opportunity to do so because I don't think there's enough accountability. I think that there's too much question that goes into the games and there's too much influence that they have at the NFL level. They can make some tweaks to the system that would give them more clean hands. But going to the Charger-Jaguars game, specifically the Joey Bosa situation, to me, made my stomach hurt in regards to one particular penalty. Now, I am not absolving Joey Bosa. He could have handled the situations much better, much more mature, throwing your helmet down twice and all of that. Not a part of the game. Definitely not a mature way of handling any kind of situation in the game. I'm going to the official that walked with him back to the sideline, that baited him into another penalty. And even though that penalty, that was one of the penalties that didn't really affect, I don't know if that was the one that got them closer. I believe that was the one that got them closer and had them go for two, where Trevor Lawrence reached over the line and got the 2-point conversion. But any official. And people said, well, people were killing me, trying to hit me on Twitter. You don't know what he said. What I do know is that whatever he said, the official did not hear first, right? So if I don't hear you the first time, I, as an official, especially if you are walking off the field, should not bait you, trail you, and poke the bear and ask you to say what you said again. I should not do that. It's like anything else. Like, it's not the right position, especially in the game of football, where just because you think you heard something and you want him to say it again, you're going to poke the bear and then throw a flag.
Yeah.
Like, maybe go to commercial, and if you want to ask him what he said, and he says it, all right, now you're having a man-to-man conversation. It's not about a flag or not. But if you're going to poke the bear like that, I think it was unprofessional, and it was the same official that had thrown the flag on Chris Jones when he was chirping at Matt Ryan when we played the Indianapolis Colts this year, which cost us the game. So my beef is with the officials, with the head officials that look down on these guys, that grade these guys, that assess them for playoffs, for bonuses, for raises, and for Super Bowls, like, get some more accountability, get in their ear in those situations, and make sure that they stay and drawing within the lines and not baiting emotional players that are getting pushed around by 300-plus pound athletes in highly intense situations, win, do or die, win or go home situations, and you throw a flag because you want to chase them down because you got your feelings hurt. There you go.
Julio, it's tough tonight.
Julio.
It's tough. It's a tough
Julio
crowd
took
tonight.
A little power nap before he came in. And now he,
don't, no,
he
got, don't make it. Don't see, don't do that.
No, I'm saying he got some muscles now.
Don't do that.
All right, go ahead. You go with your hot fire take. Hurry up. I'm mad now. Hurry up.
Well, again, we're going to start and finish this hot take with the utmost respect about the, obviously, about the injury to Hamlin.
Yes,
it was unfortunate. It was unpredictable. It left the league in a unprecedented set of affairs. So when CDOT talks earlier about what should have happened, should or should not happen with that Bills-Cincy game, and should it be in a neutral location and everything, I got to push back and 100% disagree with that young man. I definitely think it should have the same and be coming under the same rules as our game with Buffalo. All three teams had something at stake. And even though we weren't playing in the game, the number one seed was still at risk. And it was part of the puzzle to be worked out over the last 2 weeks of the season. Now, the one thing I do say is if the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals, for whatever reason, were not on the same schedule and they ended up the way they did, 13-3, 12-4, then I would say, hey, just like it's happening this week on Sunday, you got to play that game at the Bills. But because it was an opportunity head-to-head for them to determine the score and settle, you know, in their own way who was going to be the second seed, I think you definitely have to put that in the same boat as the what you're saying would have, could have, you know, should have happened with the Buffalo Bills record as far as not getting us a AFC championship here in Kansas City and making us be exposed or available to go to this neutral location. So at the end of the day, man, the game on the field, it happens on the field. It's fast. No one knows, and no one knows how things are going to turn out. But the rule was already in place for it to be winning percentage. That was rules already in place. So the fact that the NFL went against their own set of rules to do something unordinary, at least they should have made it as fair across the board and say all three spots, the first, second, and third seed were up to grab because the fourth seed was not possibly.
Yeah.
Met. So the first, second, and third seeds, we're going to make y'all fall under the same rules. Any teams that make it beyond the wild card round should have to play at a neutral location if y'all see each other.
So you are, because I don't know if that was clear, let's see if Julio got the muscles. If he got...
Because it's relevant. Fire.
So part of me believes that Julio gives you that fire because you started your takeoff like Barry White. You was like, as long as we and show you right. And all that, yeah. See? You came with the sexy voice first and then you kind of souped it all up.
This is players
but I guess
only.
Just to be clear,
only.
You're saying that the Bills Bengals game should not be at a neutral site.
It should be.
It should be at a neutral site. And the Chiefs and the Bills should be at a neutral site as well.
I think at the end of the day, when you decided to change the rules, then for all three teams that are affected, you got to make them follow by the same rules. So if any of you three teams face each other, it should have been at a neutral site.
I could agree with that. That's uniform. I'm not going to give you fire for it, but I'll agree with you.
Well, I had a second point I was going to talk about. The offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators got fired. Like, when did this become Black Thursday? What happened today that everybody, all the playoff team woke up and decided they're...
To fire today?
You know what I'm saying? The
Byron Leftwich
right?
Todd McNair and all them down in...
Yep. The Ravens let their OC go.
Yep.
The Dolphins, the defensive coordinator had nothing to do with that 4th-and-1, but he gets
fired,
and that's supposed to be his home. But I heard it was together since college. And
how about before we go to break, real quick, how about the complexities and the dumpster fire in Tampa, where you win a Super Bowl, You give Tom Brady everything he wants. Yeah. He doesn't want Bruce Arians as the head coach. So you move Bruce Arians up into the box, into a different position. And then the next year, he's able to exit. Nothing's really his fault. And now you fire the entire offensive staff. Like, if you talk about dysfunction like that soon from a Super Bowl, I think the Buccaneers fit that bill. So when we come back, it's halftime. We got the text line, 913-586-7610. Phone lines, text lines are open. We're going to tackle those. And we got to deal with some of this bye week concern and maybe going back into the vault of our experiences and how we fared then, back in the day. So barbershop, don't always open on time.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And he gets buried. He gets destroyed by Sean Barber.
Y'all better get ready to rumble. Got to run like a double. Spicy like gumbo. Spice on the bun.
Oh.
Y'all ain't ready.
Maddox throws over the middle, intercepted. Intercepted in the end zone. Picked off by Sean Barber.
Bird's eye view.
We're not giving you the whole intro.
Man, that thing is.
You can't come late and get a full intro.
Yeah, you can, because I did. Yeah, you can.
Are you trying to puff your chest out?
Because that, man, you know the intro is just, man, B-Dub.
B-Dub did his thing on both hours. I give it to him. Shout out to B-Dub.
Man.
Julio did that. See, you've been giving the wrong credit all this time. All right, we're back. We got the phone lines open. Text line is open. Let's go quickly to Dan and KC. Dan, what you got?
Hey, Dan. Hey, Sean. How you doing? Ready for the Chiefs game Saturday? Just they got to do what they did in the first year meeting. Just stop MTN. They held MTN to 45 yards. And and they'll do a pretty good job on Kirk, too, where I was guarding him. And I agree with you, Dan. Yeah, Joey Bosa shouldn't lost his temper like that, you know, even though he thought it was a false start, you know. He still got to keep his emotions. And then that extra point going for two, you know, the big 30-28, then the field goal to win. And I was proud of the Cowboys that he pulled it out. They're going to do it against the 49ers. Brett Morska has started making those extra points, and let's go and take care of the Jaguars. And Dane, did Morty give you a day off on the bye week? What are your thoughts on that when he coached? Did he give you a day off?
Good stuff, Dan. We appreciate you. Yeah, Marty had a method where back then the CBA wasn't as structured and strict, where you had to give players off specific amounts of time. But during the bye week, what Marty would do is he gave us 2 days on, 2 days off, 2 days on, 2 days off. And he would do it like that so that we could not go on a vacation. We couldn't go anywhere really, because if you got to get some treatment or you're trying to get some workouts in, you just look at the schedule and you're like, dang. I guess I got to cancel that trip. I guess I just got to stay in town because you got two on, two off. So there was a method to his madness. Now they pretty much have to give guys consecutive days off, which is good in a way as well. And it puts the onus on them being more disciplined with their time and where they go, especially knowing that social media and pictures and all that are going to be out there. I think we see a lot of guys more disciplined than probably we would have been back in the 90s if we'd have got full weeks off. All right, Big Jax, what you got?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, you know, I think this kid, Lawrence, is a baller, man, for real. I mean, he's proven he's a winner. He's got to come in here, though, and face this Arrowhead crowd on a Saturday at 3:30. They probably going to be out there at 3:30 in the morning out there already tailgating, bro. So I can't even imagine what this crowd is going to be like on Saturday. So It's just going to be an experience. I think it's going to be the warm up for Chris Jones and them, so they can get right, bro. And not get right, but I'm saying that defense is going to have to step up in these games all the way through in order for this team to really win. We know Pat's going to put up points, but his defense is going to have the ball. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I appreciate y'all. I'll holler at you later.
All right, Big Jax, appreciate you. Appreciate you. I agree. I think this is a game, and Barbershop, I'd be interested from a defensive perspective. He says they're going to have to step up their game. Chris Jones has played in 10 playoff games, hasn't had a sack yet. He's one guy that has to step up his game. I think obviously you're going to be asking a lot of the rookies in the back end to handle their business, not give up big plays like the Chargers did in allowing the Jaguars to get back in the game. But I feel like it's all going to start up front.
Yeah. We got to stop calling these guys rookies too, right?
Oh, they're not rookies. Yeah. They're just first-year guys. That's my bad. Yes.
Yeah, rookie Justin makes Reed it seem like that. they unproven. And after the whole season of going through the gauntlet we went through with the receivers we faced, those guys, I mean, they got more playing experience than some corners in their second and third year. So,
true.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking for the defense to step up, but not because, you know, me or Big T or anybody else says so. Basically, it's just that time, right, when you get to playoff football.
Don't say it about being more important than the offense. Don't you dare say it.
Well, you're right. It's already known. I ain't got to say. People know who wins championships. I didn't say defense, but it ain't
you just
offense.
Did.
No, I just said it like backwards.
All right, Big T, what you got?
Yeah, hey guys, thanks for taking my call. It's nice seeing you guys down there at Cinderblock. That was a good time. So, Dan, I like how you talk about the stability from top to bottom of our organization. That, you know, regardless, we've had great a year, and I expect more because this team's just going to keep rolling. I mean, within our division, look at the instability. I mean, do you trust the Raiders? No. Do you trust Denver? Look at them, dysfunction. And then look at that coach. Do you trust that idiot coach at L.A., you know, the Chargers? No. And then you got Baltimore and Miami and Patriots and Tennessee. What are they all going to do? So I'm thankful for our Chiefs. Thank you for playing so hard for us and being such a competitive team year in and year out. And then, you know, that quarterback pretty much, you know, all year, he looks like Tarzan, but pretty much all year he's played like Jane up until last week. Now, you know, he runs his mouth and says, the stadium, I don't expect it to be as loud as at our home game. Well, I got news for him. Comes in here Saturday, Big Jack said it, or whoever that guy was before the caller, this guy's going to be up 3:30 morning party. You're going to be rowdy. And I'm just going to say it's going to be 100 times louder than that blow dryer machine that he sits under at the beauty shop. Let's go. As always, let's go out and kick some Jaguar ass and go Chiefs.
Appreciate you, Big T.
Big T.
I am behind you 100%. I don't know what kind of cauldron. I do know what kind of cauldron Trevor Lawrence has gotten himself into by that comment. Definitely idiotic. But at the same time, like, we know our Chiefs fans are going to rally around that and make it as noisy as possible. 142.2 decibels is definitely a possibility on a Saturday afternoon. You got all Saturday morning, get your mimosas, whatever it is, get your gasoline in you, and come out for a 3:30 kick and blow the ears out of Trevor Lawrence and that offense. I am totally, totally amped up about that, Barbershop. What about you?
Yeah, man, I'm going to give some advice to our guy, Alberino, right? Rob Alberino,
yep.
Who does all the game day stuff. He might want to go ahead.
65 toss power trap, shout out.
He might want to go ahead and take a little snippet.
And he's a listener.
Right, a little audio snippet and a video to go with it of Lawrence saying
put
that,
it on the board?
And put it before the game starts, just put it on the board and just look at the fans, look around and say, challenge has been set.
Oh, imagine if they did that. I wonder if Rob, I'm going to ask him Sunday if they have restrictions on what they can put on the board, because that would be perfect. Put that quote up there.
Lighting the match right there. Arrowhead on fire. The whole sea of red.
Right after the home of the Chiefs. Ooh. You do that while they're doing the coin toss or whatever.
Yeah, we have a message from the Chiefs from the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, actually, this message is for all the fans in Kansas City about the loudness of the stadium. And just play that audio clip.
Oh, my gosh. That would be excellent. All right. So we got the text line, somebody from 816, wasn't Ray Rice from Rutgers? Yes, Ray Rice was from Rutgers. Kenny Britt, the McCourty brothers, There's several guys that have come out of there. I'm from North Jersey, so I was recruited by Rutgers. Did not ever even think about going down there. But they did have some players. You're right. But Isaiah Pacheco has the capabilities of being the most special out of all of those guys. Let's see. From the 785, the listeners were not part of the meeting, so you owe us 11 minutes, Barbershop.
I'm going to give it to them.
They want recovery.
Yeah, listen,
they feel cheated.
No, I'm a man of my word.
We only got 1 hour.
I'm going to sit here for 11 minutes.
Afterwards?
During the goal show when we talk about the bets.
You going to sit there for 11 minutes?
I'm going to sit here for 11 minutes and listen to him. And when that clock says 9:11,
that's when you're going to leave?
With all due respect, 9:11. I would get up and carry my key stuff out of here.
So from 913, barbershops don't always open on time. Should I tell them that you ain't know what that meant?
Bro.
You thought it was a support of you instead of barbershops and beauty salons opening when they feel like
it? All right, so my nickname is Barbershop. So I hear it so much, I don't even relate it to an actual barbershop, like a brick and mortar building.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
mm-hmm.
Yes, I did think the mm-hmm. text line was giving me some support, only to find out, no, they were just trying to do a play on words. And I looked at you and told you, oh, I got it.
Like, finally.
It took a while.
It's like 6 minutes after the text message.
It took a while.
All right. From the 816, here's a question. Who were scarier and more physical players, the quiet ones or the loud trash talkers?
Ain't nobody scared of nobody. Ain't no scared now. I can tell you the ones that backed it up was those quiet ones. The silent assassins, kind of them dudes that hit you and put the hand up and pick you back up and tell you, hey, I'm going to see you again. But they didn't talk all that, you know, all that noise, all that, you know. I can think of some guys that talked a whole lot, and sometimes they, you know, when really put to the test, they didn't really back it up as much. So
yeah, I think I had more respect for the quiet ones because the loud ones that talk trash, they were also loud and crying, like and whining.
Oh, yeah. Oh my
So if, like for us as wide receivers, we would go and crack back on safeties and cut block corners and do all the physical stuff, and just as much trash talking as they would talk in defending passes and all that,
mm-hmm.
they would cry just as loud when, hey, stay off my knees and blah, blah, you trying to do that. I'm like, is it within the rules?
My example of that, the quiet one, is Will Shields.
Yeah, Will didn't talk trash.
And in the 2003 season, when we had to go play Baltimore on Monday night, it was him versus Ray Lewis.
Oh, I remember
every other play.
I remember
Ray
that.
Ray Lewis was crying to the ref. I'm being held. He started crying to his teammates.
Yeah,
I'm being
on the sideline. He was mic'd up.
If they doubling me, somebody got to be free.
Yeah.
And then you look at the film. It's just him and Will.
Just him and Will.
Over and over again.
Will was dancing with his behind,
ooh,
too.
The dancing bear was on the show. He was putting it on there. And yes,
yeah.
You was right. Ray Lewis was crying like a baby to the ref, man. That's some funny mic'd up right there.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some special times, and we appreciate all the text line and the phone line. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about this Jaguars team and a lot more about our experiences during these playoffs, bye weeks, etc.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Sean Barber, Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
All right, Julio. See, the problem with playing jams like that, then we wind up not getting on air quick enough because we sitting here vibing with the music. We're back fourth quarter, last quarter of the show for Players Only before this divisional round playoff against the Jaguars and Barbershop. We tackled the text line. We tackled the phone lines. You know, before we get into predictions, I want to talk about our experiences. We talked earlier about you and I both being on 13-3 teams, having bye weeks, coming out after bye weeks, and I think uniformly for you and I, we both fell down after that. We didn't play well. Now, we don't believe that's going to be the case for this Chiefs team, but is there a difficulty not only playing after a bye week and getting yourself up with your teams? Was it difficult? And then were you guys in a situation where you played a team a second time that's not wasn't in your division, but you played them earlier that season and then had to play them in the playoffs? I did. I want to hear about you.
Well, that's some very specific memories for me to try to come up with and realize what happened to me after bye weeks. But I can tell you my mindset. I can tell you that I appreciated having the opportunity to freshen up and not having to feel the aches and pains each and every Sunday like you're used to doing, even during practice. How do you prepare yourself for the next opponent when you're still worrying about your hands being swollen, your knees, and the amount of inflammation you have throughout your body?
How on a scale of 1 to 10 or percentage-wise, what was the average feeling of your body from week, like as you got to the latter part of the season and specifically into the playoffs? If you didn't have that bye week, what do you feel like you were 70% of yourself?
I mean, so to be totally honest, I don't even know if I can allow myself to even remember, because like you don't have an option.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have that bye week, you just keep plugging away. It's the routine of not having, you know, multiple days off. You're used to the victory Mondays, yeah. But then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're back to it. Friday, you're trying to flush your body, flush your mind. Saturday, last-minute adjustments, and then go play on Sunday. And you do that nonstop without even thinking, how does my hand feel? How do my ankles, knees? Now, when you're out there on practice trying to run around.
You feel it.
And you run that time. You tell, hey, coach, you got to get the other guy in there so I can get myself back together. Because you want the focus to not to be on your aches and pains. You want the focus to be on the game plan. You want everybody to be learning the game plan and hearing the communications and all the adjustments that you're trying to make throughout, you know, playing defense. You don't want your aches and pains to be something that keeps the team from progressing.
Yeah.
So you ignore it and you ignore it. But when you do have the time for that bye week and you know coach says, all right, we're going to practice on Monday and I won't see you until Thursday. Have a couple days to just, I mean, get away and just not think about game planning or anything, man. That's a total reset. That's a total back to square one. As far as me being fresh,
I don't think people realize how valuable 48 hours is. 48 hours of nothing in football. Never mind, these guys got more time than that in a bye week. But 48 hours of nothing when you've had a regimen that you've gone through from July through the entire season is extremely valuable. And you know, there are people out there that work regular jobs and they get the weekends off and then they lace them up on Monday and they go back to their jobs, whether it's a physical job or a more mental job, and it's draining. And maybe people don't feel like, you know what, I feel like I am, you know, I'm still as I have so much angst and anxiety Monday as I had Friday, or I'm dreading going to work on Monday and getting up out of bed. Well, from a football standpoint, I'm not saying it's more physically challenging or anything like that, but like because that's been your regimen, like you value those 48 hours like to the extent like you're ready to like go hug your coach. Mm-hmm. Like this time, like you've never heard a locker room cheer or a meeting room cheer loud until you hear a coach say, "Hey, you guys, go head off. I'll see you on Thursday." Like that's like guys. All the aches and pains leave right then because you're ready to sprint out the building before he changes his mind. So, yeah, the bye week, there's concern about starting off slow and all that, but it in the locker room, that's not a concern. That's usually just a concern for fans. But from a player's perspective, you value the bye week and the opportunity to rest your body so much that the alternative and the other stuff just becomes minimal.
Yeah, it's almost, and people have tried to compare it or equate it to like running a race. And I say, imagine me and you in a race and we're running a mile, four laps. Each one of those laps equals about three or four football games.
Mm-hmm.
And after that race is over, we're being told that the winner of that race will be able to sit for 60 seconds while the other person continues to exercise. And then after 60 that 60 seconds over, you get to re-engage at the same exact point and try to finish 3 to 4 laps, knowing that if you don't finish first on either one of those laps, you're done.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the equivalent of how much a bye week lets you, like, totally reset your mind and be ready for this.
In the playoffs.
Oh, my goodness. Three-game push. It is what it is.
Yeah, there's some question. Obviously, in this matchup, you have the mentee versus the mentor, and Doug Peterson and Andy Reid. I don't feel like I've been asked the question about if there's an advantage. I feel like the mentor always has the advantage because you know what the mentee has absorbed from you. We have the luxury of playing them in week 10. That's not that long ago. And so, yes, there may be some slight advantages in regards to rolling the dice and Doug Peterson feeling like their backs are against the wall. They have nothing to lose. They're going to come out. The first time we played them, they opened up with a surprise onside kick. And it actually wasn't a surprise. I talked with Dave Tobe, and he said, we practiced it. Mm-hmm. We were ready for it. They just executed. So exactly. It wasn't a surprise. They just executed better. But like, I feel like on one side, you can say, well, Doug Peterson, who knows? We saw that 4th-and-1 play against the Chargers basically to win the game, a roll of the dice, very gutsy, very ballsy. But I feel like in the entire scope of the game, 60 minutes, the mentor is going to prevail. He is in a better position than the mentee.
Yeah, he's been known for going for it on 4th down and 2-point mm-hmm. conversions more than probably any coach that's currently playing. But it's no different than what he did at the Eagles. He did the same thing, same coaching style. And so Dougie P, he's coming to town. But at the end of the day, man, these Chiefs going to take care of business.
Take care of business indeed. And the fact that they're playing on a Saturday, to me, is a benefit. Playing the first game of the weekend,
that's right.
Get it out of your system, be able to get home probably by halftime of the second game, and then relax the entire Sunday to watch who you're going to play and watch the rest of football. So no negatives in playing on Saturday. To me, I don't feel like there's a disadvantage at all. We've had a week and a bye against a team that we beat by 10 points. We're better than them. We just got to show up on Saturday afternoon and get it done. So with that, with here Barbershop, we will expect to be back here next Thursday with a Chiefs win in tow and getting ready for the AFC Championship. Barbershop, and I'm Danon Hughes. We're out. Peace.
This is Players Only with Danon Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.